Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to The End of the Nation State. This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. And tonight is Tuesday, October 26th. And the crazy hand of our government and in the world continues. I'm sure you're all surprised. I'm not. But that's the way it goes. What can you say? We're living in a bifurcated world, and the world continues to spin out of control because the entire system is starting to collapse around us. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Before we begin, great call out to MyPillow. MyPillow is like one of those amazing companies you just need to support. Mike Lindell, who's created MyPillow, the CEO, one of the greatest patriots and Christian leaders of our time, has continued to fight for liberty using mass resources that he can muster to try to develop a sense of, to reclaim a sense of election integrity and just bring out the best in everybody to make them realize that this fight, no matter how hard they hit you, never ends if you are persistent. And that's why I will always support MyPillow. MyPillow has great products. They're a good American company. So head on over to MyPillow.com/Bards. MyPillow.com/Bards. There you're going to find all sorts of great specials, great deals, great savings. And the best part is all you need to do is use your Bards code, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S, for some amazing savings across the entire platform. We're really honored to have a special page on the MyPillow website. It's a sub page there. And like I said, it's mypillow.com/bards. And there's great savings there. Giza Dream Sheets, buy one, get one free. Classic MyPillow, save up to 75%. My Doggy Beds, as low as $19.99. And My Slippers with 50% off. And then there's the 6-piece towel set, $39.99 instead of $109.99. I'm telling you, patriots, it's awesome. Great Christmas gifts there. You head on over to mypillow.com/bards. Use the promo code Bards, B-A-R-D-S. You can use it across the entire site, wherever you are. And right there, you're going to get all sorts of incredible savings. And if you want to support or talk to a real human being, you can call 1-800-975-2939, 1-800-975-2939, and talk to a Patriot MyPillow sleep counselor. Patriots, I use these products. I totally believe in them. They are a great product. I love them. I sleep better, truly. And that's part of the whole health and wellness store that we're building between MyPillow and then, of course, Expedition Coffee. And what goes on with Expedition Coffee? Expedition Coffee is one of the best coffees that you can buy. It is designed to boost your focus, mental focus, amplify, increase your mood, which is the elevation of your serotonin, help heal and seal your gut, and try to improve overall body health improvement. And my Expedition Coffee was developed in part by Dr. Eric Napudi, and when it was offered to me to be able to brand it with our brand, I was completely thrilled. It's a coffee that I drink once a day. It's the only coffee I drink once a day now from a guy that it was admittedly like a coffee addict. And going from 4 quad shots a day down to 1 cup a day. It's that good. And with that, when you go to expeditioncoffee.com, XPED, expeditioncoffee.com, you'll also find 3 other amazing products that are there. The Gut Health Triad, which is all about healing and sealing the gut to help improve our overall body health. Immune XP, which is a fantastic immune booster built on pinecone extract and humic and fulvic acid. And, of course, the one product I'm just thrilled to be able to carry, which is Pure 47. And Pure 47 is the most pure nano-silver supplement, all natural, be clear about that, out there to be able to get into your body and to help really deal with some of these aggressive viral attacks and improve your overall body health in such a way that you can truly be stronger and healthier through this crazy SARS-CoV world that we live in now. So again, go to expeditioncoffee.com, expeditioncoffee.com. You can also get there by going to bardsfm.com and click on the Expedition Coffee logo. It's fantastic. So Patriots, there you go. Great products for a great time. And that's what we need. We need to be supporting American companies and great products. And all products like that in one way or another also contribute to the fight for liberty, which is what we're really about. One of the hardest things that I think everyone has to deal with right now is getting the perspective of understanding that we are not at a beginning of a new miserable era, though I'm sure that I'm talking for those that are awake, but we're literally witnessing the end of a reign of power that has lasted thousands of years. And that end is happening quickly, and it's happening actually at an unprecedented speed, which I would literally call biblical in its nature. And as we watch this entire world crumble, and so with that, there's a lot of things that are going into upheaval, and we have the last throes of the deep state trying to throw volleys out here to try to create all sorts of problems. But they're a dying power, and they know it, and so they're trying to do what they can for kind of a scorched earth policy. But let's roll back, first of all, to a date which I bring up many times, a month and a date, which is April 2020. And this is a very important place that, in my looking at history, is where we were as a humanity at an opportunity to take a very important direction. As humanity, we were at a point where we could have taken a narrow path, figuratively speaking. And we could have stepped off into what would have been potentially an amazing moment of resistance. And where we would be today would be much different than where we are. Now, I'm not saying that in a retrospective wish you could have sort of thing. But the fact of the matter is that in that month of April, if you recall, was the end of President Trump trying to show the world alternative therapies for this pandemic and this SARS-CoV nonsense. What I said before is probably just as much truth as the SARS-CoV nonsense. So we have what had happened, and that's the question. What happened? So we have to look at the 4 or 5 years at that point that President Trump was telling people the truth. The media is the enemy of the people. And the media tells lies. And so we arrive at a point where obviously this SARS nonsense has kind of slipped into America, and they've started using it as a way to distract from other things that they're doing, like second round of impeachment and stuff like that. And when you look at what happens is the impeachment fell apart, so naturally they shifted gears and went back to the fear-mongering around SARS-CoV-2 and this whole pandemic. At this point, if you remember, going into April, the mask issue was pretty much done. But now President Trump was showing showing the world what the alternatives were. They were showing things like chlorine dioxide as a cure. And of course, the media took that and said, Trump's trying to tell you to drink bleach and put bleach in your veins, which wasn't true. You can actually have chlorine dioxide. Okay. But that's not bleach, so we're clear. And they also had the head of science and technology in there showing about this light therapy, which is really an amazing therapy, because as they run the blood through the light, they only need to do a small portion of it. And what happens is it sanitizes the blood from any sort of viral infection that carries it through the entire body. Non-invasive. The media went on a frenzy. The media went on a frenzy calling Trump crazy and trying to say that he was going to try to use fluorescent lights to treat you, and they were going to try to drink bleach and all the other crazy stuff. And in spite of all the reassurances that President Trump brought the world to with the head of science and technology for DHS, the people chose to believe the media. And so what follows is an accelerated process to develop a vaccine. What, as we know, is not a vaccine, it's a technology. And President Trump is put into an impossible situation. This is my interpretation of events, so we're clear. President Trump is put into an impossible situation between evil and less evil, which is the vaccine's coming. The people are not going to accept anything less because the people are retarded, pretty much. Because they had accepted the brainwashing of the media, and instead of having an opportunity to take a step away and walk this new path, and quite literally, in my opinion, it's a path that God presented to everybody. It's like, here you go. This is the path you can take. You can step away now. It's not going to be an easy path, but if you just follow this path, you can step away. But nope. They wanted their vaccine. So there's no possible way President Trump could have rallied the number of votes that he did to have such a decisive victory, which ultimately brought out the full view of what the deep state was up to. And he couldn't have accomplished that for November 3rd unless he had promised and delivered a vaccine. Because why? Because many people are retarded. So we are surrounded by a large mentally retarded group of people that walk this earth, that believe and worship in pharmaceutical. And there you go. So all of this said, that juncture is very important, okay? Because it was an opportunity for us to, as a humanity, to step away. But what if, for whatever reason, whether it's they didn't believe it, they didn't want to be involved, they didn't pay attention, they just thought, we're going to go through another shot, no big deal. Whatever was happening there in the degradation of cognitive skills, we arrived at where we did. And to this day, there's still so many of the main influencers out here that just can't say, they can't literally say, I'm anti-vax. This is a wrong process. They always say, I'm not anti-vax. And it's your choice. There is no choice in this. We all know this. This is a choice between putting a gun in your mouth with six bullets in the chamber or walking free. That's your choice. So if that's a choice, suicide's your choice, and have at it. But it's not one I would ever give. So this is kind of where we are. What happens, though, on November 3rd and 4th is something that the world is yet processing. And what happened is that on that moment when the deep state hijacked the election in this country, they told you going up front that this was, we were going to build back better. They've told you that this was a new beginning. People haven't digested that yet. Fact of the matter is that on November 4th, the nation state died. What you're dealing with now and this whole concept of a nation state has a long history of why it got here. But the fact is that on November 4th was a terminal, that was the beginning of the end of the nation state. All that we're living in now is an illusion. It's a facade of what used to be. And you'll notice how much of an illusion is. We don't have an operable constitution. Our constitution, for the most part, has been suspended and derailed. People in government don't like you to say that. They get all testy because they know it's true. Supreme Court doesn't want you to say that because they know it's true. And so they go through this kabuki theater of kind of making it look like it's working when in fact it's not working at all. Constitution is dead. What is holding this nation together are people. And what's holding this nation together is the fact that people still have a belief in something greater than the perverts and the criminals that are running this nation and this world. And because we are believing in something greater, we're still holding it together. Now, if you step back and look just a minute and be honest with yourself, it's a rather amazing moment because we don't have any leadership in this country. Joe Biden's literally like a puppet on a stick. And the babbling idiot that plays the part of Joe Biden, surrounded by the woman that used to be a man, mattress back Harris, and the whole entourage of freaks. And it's amazing that not one of them can be anything other than gay or transgender. They're all freaks that are running this government. Every one of them. What's interesting is that in spite of all that, not much is really happening in your local area if people stand up. We are literally governing ourselves right now, and people aren't embracing that fact. Those in the cities that still want to bow their head and go, okay, the mayor said so, we'll obey. You're just idiots. I don't know how else to tell you this. And this is kind of some harsh truths. We are starting to realize that this world is able to function without them. And that's the beginning of a true, true awakening. Is that as we begin, and what they fear the most, they absolutely fear what's that this idea that we are coming to a realization that we don't need them, that we can take care of ourselves, that we can manage our own affairs, that we don't need government taxing us to death. Do you realize that it's something, the figure is some insane figure, and it's anywhere from 95 to 99%. This is true, what I'm going to tell you. 95 to 99% of the true wealth of this nation is siphoned off by the deep state. Can you imagine what we could do with that type of wealth in building this nation up as people and as helping other nations rise up as well? But here's the thing, is a nation state model can't do that. And that's why I started this out by saying the nation state is dead. Let's go back a little bit in history. We start to look at really the organized state, and it really what happens in the kind of post-Babylonian period is the rise of the city-state. And interestingly, and I think I always find this curious, is one of the most powerful city-states that have rose up was the Kievan state, which is in Ukraine. But the Kievan state is also where Mother Russia got its origins, was in the Kievan state. It's where the white Russians came from. It's also where what came, the Khazarian, I think it's called Khazarians, which are, I may be pronouncing it wrong, but what is frequently referred to as the Red Jews. They're not Jewish, be clear about this. I'm not getting into any anti-Semitism. That's a bunch of nonsense. And the whole idea of anti-Semitism is just being driven by the deep state anyway. The Red Jews are the ones that were a very violent tribe of people. And they were given a choice to choose a religion, and they choose Judaism. And so they were not true Jews, never have been. But from the research that I've done, and I did a piece on this about a year ago, Hitler came from that descendants of the Red Jews, which were not Jewish. They just call them that because they claimed their religion, okay? That infestation all came out of an area very close to the Kievan state. It's just quite interesting to track this all back. The city-state was the powerful state. It was literally cities surrounded by walls. The peasants would live on the outside, and they would work the fields for the elites that lived within the walls. And within the walls, then there were different classes. There was basically a upper poor class and a rich class. That's basically it. So the upper poor class were the ones making stuff and doing the dealings with the taking care of horses, sewing clothes, whatever, all for the rich. If you've ever been to Edinburgh, it's an amazing, amazing study of being able to see really how one of those works, how those actually worked. And you can go in Edinburgh, you can still, there's a great pub, by the way, right at the end of, well, I think they call it the end of the earth pub, if I'm not mistaken. End of the world pub is what it is. And that is where the limits of the original wall of the Edinburgh city-state were. And what's interesting about Edinburgh as a city-state, just as a side note here, Edinburgh was the first city in the West to have skyscrapers. But over the years, they filled in so much with rebuilding that it literally has, you have to dig down. And you can take a tour where they excavated down 3 or 5 stories into the lower bowels of what the earth, where the people used to live. It was a rough living if you were poor, I will tell you. So this was their hierarchy of wealth was the poor were on the bottom, the wealthy were on the top. And quite literally, I'm not exaggerating, the wealthy would take out their daily bedroom pot, which was their waste from their bodies from the night, and they would take it out on the balcony and they would throw it down on the streets, and that's where the poor were. They were walking and living down below. This is kind of how the whole class structure worked. But city-states proved to be rather inefficient because ultimately the two classes of people, and this is what was typified in the French Revolution, was it was well, before then, actually, the city-states grew to be inefficient because what was happening is that it was an elite class with just a very poor class. Raising an army was difficult. And so as the elite began to conquer city-states, they started to develop empires. So empires, the British Empire being one of the most notable, started to grow out to where within the boundaries of the empire, there were certain greater latitudes. And so it was under the empires that they began to see more development of markets, which would lead to things like the early phases of capitalism, which was known as mercantilism. And it was allowing a new class of people to rise. And that new class of people were allowed to rise up and to have more latitudes to do trade, to bring in commerce. And what the wealthy begin to realize is, my goodness, we could make a whole lot more money if we give people a little more latitude. I'm simplifying the whole process, but it's important to understand that the whole time there is an elite class managing this thing. That's not a myth. It's not a conspiracy. It's where actually how things were working. And from that, then you started to see the breakaways. And then people started to have nationalist movements claiming that they needed to break away and have their own national identity. And some of this you could roll back into the histories of Rome and how the Romans conquered the world. And in fact, there's a lot of correlation between the way the Romans conquered the world, the collapse of the Roman Empire, the rise of the city-state, the rise of empires, and then the breaking out of nation-states. And so as the nation-states get broken out, what has happened here is that a new type of system arises, which is origins with the Catholic Church. There's a shocker for you. And you start to get this banking system that arises that starts to connect these nation-states that are claiming to be independent. So effectively, you can't rule the people anymore. And you can't rule them because the people want their independence, and so they give them a little bit of their independence, and at the same time, they expand out this idea of control through money. The French Revolution, and this it isn't as linear as I'm painting it, but I'm just kind of giving you some perspectives of evolution here, of the ruling class. And so when we get to the French Revolution, what's important about the French Revolution is the French Revolution wasn't really a role of the people versus, you know, evil, as they like to portray. Really what it is you've got a group that was called in French petit bourgeoisie. They were the arising mercantile class. They were developing their wealth by businesses and accumulating large amounts of wealth through trade, competing against the ancestral wealth of the royals. And so they organized this revolution, leveraging the youth, which is quite interesting because that's what all the communists do. And it was mainly, 14 and 16-year-old children that were leading a lot of the way of dragging people into the guillotine to have their head chopped off. So essentially what you saw there was a purging of the old royal class and a rise of the new business mercantile class known as the petit bourgeoisie. So as this grew up, they became the new power class. And with this, at a very similar time, was the rise of the United States, and other nation states were gaining prominence and power. But the nation state offers an amazing new concept. It gives people a sense of freedom and identity, very different from a city state or an empire. They actually have an identified boundary. And psychologically, they are much more easily controlled. Because within those boundaries, you now have an identity that you relate to. I'm an American. Someone else is a Ugandan. Someone else is a Canadian. They're artificial divisions that work very well in keeping people separated. And for a time, people were allowed to expand and to explore some places, were allowed to explore their type of rule. The biggest con job of the entire world has turned out to be the United States. Because the con job is that we were the land of the free, which in fact, as you travel the world and come back, you realize to a large degree we are the most imprisoned. And we are the most controlled. But people walk around saying things like red, white, and blue, and we are land of the free. We're not. We're a prison state. And what you're seeing now is the magnitude of that prison state right before you. It's being very clear. And so with that comes some neat little manipulative control aspects, because as you challenge the sovereignty in people's mind, that is, of the nation state, like the United States, like this caravan coming up from south, which has about 300,000 plus people, that's being led by UN vehicles with cartel and fighting age males woven inside, about 50% of which are women and children. So they're using them as human shields. We're watching a slow moving invasion coming to our southern border. And so this creates high levels of anxiety, just the thought of that coming in. And these are the sorts of things that are easy to do as long as you have a nation state identity. Now, I'm not discounting the effectiveness of the nation state identity and all of the innovation and industrial strength that we created as a nation. But we're at a point right now when the nation state is an arcane model. We are witnessing what happens in a nation state, because we've seen it globally now, that every single government in the world, bar none, in one way or another, has been controlled by a banking system and the cartel of evil that runs that behind the scenes. So the representation of the people, which is what this was, we were trying to do the whole time, the idea of this, which our founding fathers knew was an experiment, they also knew would potentially go awry at some point, which is where we are, which is why we are the only nation, to my knowledge, that has within its founding documents the right to overthrow such government. We have the right, and more than the right, we have the duty as members of this nation state to overthrow the tyranny that we are now facing. Keep that in mind and never forget that. It is our duty. It is not our right. It is our duty. What these powers to be are hoping to do is to incite such violence on a domestic front that they can ensue a revolution that will leave people shattered and lives broken and families divided and bloodshed on the streets. That's what they revel for. Because what is now ruling this world and ruling every nation in this world is the most despicable level of evil you can ever imagine. And believe me, bringing back the guillotines is probably a good idea, because it's really, literally something we have to remember what they did and what they must do. But I don't believe that's the direction we're going. And so I don't want to go down that path. But my point being that we are at a point right now when we are seeing the broken nature of the nation state. But it's more than the broken nature of the nation state. As things have happened and the world has awakened to this power elite, the nation state model can no longer function, because the nation state model depends on an obligation, loyalty, and homage to a ruling elite that's hidden behind the mists and the magic of the illusion of free elections, which we know doesn't happen. And free elections have not happened probably in most of our lifetimes, our parents' lifetimes, and our grandparents' lifetimes, if not farther back than that. So they've kept the illusion throughout much of the world that there is a modicum of freedom and choice, when in fact there was never any choice at all. And that's the real illusion, because all you were, and why I go back to the city state, to the empire, to the nation state, what happened? The elites just transferred their mechanisms of control and matured it to give people the greater illusion that they had more freedom. And they did give them a bit more freedom for a time, until that wears thin and they need to squeeze, or until their economic systems begin to collapse and they squeeze the people, and then they offer them some great new way, which the new way, as they've said, is the Great Reset. So again, I go back to November 3rd and 4th. That was the marking point of the death of the nation state. We are now in a competition for whether it's going to be the Great Awakening or the Great Reset. And I have no doubt that the Great Awakening is going to win. Be clear about that. But the competition is still there. And the nation, the Great Reset, is losing ground. The COVID narrative is falling apart. They're being exposed for who they are. One of their last hurrahs here is to try to starve out the people of the United States. They're trying to cut off fuel resources to limit our movement. They're trying to elevate up the cost of goods by creating false scarcity, and then they're trying to push now an invasion from the South. It's okay. We'll get through this. But in the end, once we start to realize all that they were part of and the depths of this corruption, which include child sex trafficking, child sexual abuse, ritualistic killings, the institutionalizing of that, things like abortion, for example, which in the realization and the true understanding of what abortion is comes to surface, and people realize that it was never about choice, but it was about a willful giving of your unborn child as a sacrifice to their god of Baal, Moloch, or Baphomet. We start to realize that these people have been raising children specifically to be exploited, to have their blood drawn under torture and terror, to create products like adrenochrome. These aren't tin hat issues. These are real. And the depths of evil in which these people will go to is beyond anything any of us can imagine in a normal day. And it gets worse even than that. So when we start to look at all the leadership and how they are part of this, and here's the greatest crime of all, is the willful acceptance of an injection and the promotion of an injection that is literally killing men, women, children, and elderly. And then giving you the political line of crap where they tell you, well, we're against mandatory injections. You will notice that not one person in our government has come out to say they are against Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson for creating a bioweapon. They won't say it. And why? Because here's a couple indicators. Over 200 of them have been treated with ivermectin for COVID SARS-2. And Pfizer is the number one held stock by every one of those traders in D.C. So let us be clear about this game that they're playing, because what you're starting to see is that those, as the rats get exposed, and I've warned you about this, and I'm going to continue to beat the drum on this, there's not two paths, there's three. And they're migrating from their extreme path into the center path to try to sound like they're your advocate. They're not. They're traitors, every one of them. And every one of them deserves a traitor's end. Until they come out, until you hear somebody come out and say, Pfizer's a criminal, Pfizer is, really what they should be saying is Pfizer's a fascist organization, probably tied to the original Nazis, as is Moderna and Johnson & Johnson. Until you start hearing that, you're not getting anywhere with truth, because they're all hiding still, or thinking they're hiding, but truth is being exposed. So we come to this place where I say the nation state is dead. Now look around the landscape and tell me it's not. And this is how we'll walk through this. The entire election system is corrupt down to its very core. There is no way to repair it at this point in time other than tear it down and rebuild it. And what we've discovered is worse than that, because the first red pill is the election process is corrupt. The next small little red pill is it's corrupt in every state. Then you have to continue it to it's corrupt in every county. Then you have to realize it's corrupt in every city. So it's corrupt at every level. But now let's say that we reset it and we say, okay, great, we're going to have elections that are fair. Okay, but wait a minute. How long has it been corrupt? And as we start to run that rabbit trail backwards in time, we end up realizing that it has been corrupt all of our lives, which means every single person that's in office is there illegally. What happens? The trust in government evaporates, and what holds the nation state together? Government. We are at a transitional time in human history, which is profound, and I think it's exciting, because we're starting to realize we don't need them. We're doing just fine without any leadership in this country, because you can't call Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Pete Buttigieg leaders. They're not. What overrides all of us is our worship and faith in God at some capacity. Okay? Obviously, I believe very strongly, as I think many of you do here, that is through Christ to the Father. But nonetheless, there's a greater awakening to an understanding that there is a higher order of power here that has nothing to do with people. And we are not to trust men. And when we get through with this, there will be no trusting of government. And that means the total and annihilation of the concept of the nation state. Good riddance. Let's get rid of it. So as I wrap this up tonight, I want you to think about some things that are upcoming, because they are on our southern border. They are happening, and they are going to be very demanding. We have a migration of people coming at us, over 300,000, in fact. Like I said, 50% are men and women, women with children. Embedded with them are fighting age males. And they are being steered and supported by UN trucks and UN workers. Don't kid yourself. The UN is the enemy of the United States. We've known that. If you've been listening to anybody in the quote tin hat world since the 60s, you'd hear the same thing. Now, what this is going to do when we get to the border is unknown, but here's the real challenge that we face, is that as this starts to press to the border, if they push back on women and children, the UN and this is going to scream bloody murder, because it's a human, by their laws, you cannot deny the entry of women with children. That's why they're putting them there, in part. In effect, without a significant other type of event, if they do come across the border, there's going to be some violence. And necessarily, because we need to pull full Jericho on every fighting age male. And I don't mean that lightly. They're a threat to our existence. They're a threat to this nation. They're a threat to the innocent people and great people of this country. But here's our next challenge. Because immediately we jump to the place of women and children, the illegals that are here. We're going to have to grow up here a little bit in a way that we don't all want to. And I'm one of those that doesn't want to really go down this path, but I'm just going to say where I think that we have to go. Okay. What they want is constant division and hatred between people. That's what they're constantly doing, pitting one group against the other. But we're going to have to extend a little bit of humanitarianism to get these people stabilized. I don't want them being part of our culture if they're here for the wrong reasons. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think everybody's as bad like that. I'm not being naive either. A lot of these people are being coaxed and promised things coming from a desperate culture because their governments have failed or have become tyrannical, and they're being lured by our government, which is a bunch of tyrannical perverts anyway. The bridge that they are afraid of most is that people start to take care of one another. I don't know what that looks like in the long run, but I know that that's not a nation state model. And I know that as we go here, this is going to be a challenging time that we all have to start stepping up as humanity, as children of God. Remember, I don't say that with naivety, and I don't say that with this idea that, oh, we're all going to love each other and dance around the mulberry bush and get along. Which, by the way, that little song, Around and Round, Pop Goes or whatever it is. That whole thing, by the way, came from the plague. What a great little, perfect little song to put in there. So what I'm saying is there has to be this measure of watchers on the wall that have to do that job. But we also have to have compassion for those that are here as God would want us to. And to elevate up those, not to give welfare, but to elevate up those to get them back on their feet, many of which may go home. The way that we're going to defeat this nonsense is to accept that the nation state is dead and start realizing that they're trying to just put people in a mix of things and put us in a blender and hope that we do what a blender does, which is to chop everything up and leave it as a bloody mess. We can't allow that to happen. And that's just not something we can. So as we navigate through this, this isn't going to be an easy walk. But as we step back and start to realize that there's a role here for the remnant that's getting bolder each day, that our faith and the traditions of the Old Testament along with the New Testament are coming together, that the boldness of some of those times in the Old Testament between Jericho and Gideon and David are here, equally the compassion, that we show and that we learned in the New Testament from Christ and the disciples is here. And we have to find a balance of that within our walk. It's not black or white. It's gray. And it's something that's going to challenge each one of us. But as we come together as a remnant with God at our center, we'll get through this okay. Now, it's just a last little thing to throw out here just for you to think about tonight. I just find this very interesting. We're at a state of awakening, which is bigger than us. This is God's hand working. And we keep hearing things like all truth will be revealed. And we look to truths that's in text and we look to truths that's in words. But I'm going to challenge you to take a look with your eyes to see clearly that there's something else happening. And I keep remarking on it. I find it very interesting and almost comical. Pay attention to how many men that are acting like women are increasingly finding it difficult to hide themselves as being a fake woman. The transgender costume, the transgender manipulation is suddenly becoming very difficult for them to maintain. Patriots, I can't explain this, but I find it amazing. There's the people that they're putting in to power. Take a look at the New Zealand Prime Minister and tell me he isn't looking a whole lot more like a he these days. When you find a picture of Michael Obama, tell me that he isn't looking a whole lot more like a he. When you look at Hollywood stars, take a look and see how many of them that had the weenie snip are starting to look a whole lot more like a he where they started from. I say this because I don't know, but maybe it's because I've seen a better truth now. I see through the illusion, or maybe something bigger is happening and God's not letting them hide anymore behind the illusion of the Luciferian trick. All I say is truth is coming and there's amazing things that are happening in our world. Let us not be stuck on the idolatry of people or the idolatry of nation states. Let's keep focused on God. We are a humanity. We are all God's children. It is not going to be always easy because we've been so deeply programmed to dislike each other if we're not a certain color, different culture, different nation. But we're going to have to find our way through this, and we can. We center ourselves in our faith in God, and we will. But let's enjoy also the reveals that God's giving us to see these fools, the thought that they could tease us, fool us, insult us by mocking God. And let's enjoy these moments as well as we start to see how God is now mocking them. Their power state is collapsing and their genders being revealed. It all seems like a pretty good plan to me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for these times that we come together each and every day to reflect very deeply on the state of our world and the state where we sit in this world. Lord, the most humbling part of this time is for us to come to the realization that without you, we are nothing. And we truly are grateful for the love that you give us, the love that you guide us with, and the forgiveness that you give us as we stumble along this path, which we call human and our human existence. Lord, in this time, we're faced with some extreme challenges. We are seeing migrations coming into this country. We are seeing evil actors woven in to manipulate and use the innocent as their shield. So, Lord, we pray, frankly, for a great discernment, but also a great intervention here of some fashion to truly smite those that would mock you, to smite those that would use the innocent as their shield in war, and to give strength to your remnant to find a way through this path that balances the hand of the sword and the hand of Christ. Let us find this way, Lord, that we can ultimately heal and bridge and show the world what a true remnant does. To do so as you would ask us, to do so as you would love us, and for us to set the example as Christ would want us to. We thank you for all that is given. We thank you for the sacrifices given and made. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. It's a glorious time. And with this glorious time, we just have to keep our head. Anxieties is one of those things that we always have to remember that they want to manipulate. Anxiety is that tool of control that they use within us. And when they get anxiety embedded in us, what they are able to do is they're able to break that perfect connection with God. So if we let go of the things that they think that we're hanging on to, the nation state, for example, let's let it go. This is God's world. This isn't their world. They made nation states. God didn't make nation states. Let us rise up now as people. Let us stand together. Let us embrace the power that we have of understanding that we can rule each other. We can live our lives without the rulers of outside, that we can get along. We're not going to be perfect. We're going to make mistakes. There's going to be problems. That's human. But what we are most realizing is we don't need them anymore. We're far greater than we have any idea. The true awakening of what God gave us and what we truly are in His image is beyond our reach still. But I think we're starting to get a sense that we're far greater than we ever thought we were. And it's not greater in terms of ego, but greater in terms of existence and humility and grace and love. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent. Always press into the fight. This is an amazing time to be alive. This is a time when our prayers are so important on a daily basis. It's when we proclaim our love for Christ in all that we do. And we find that power rooted deep within us as we walk this earth and realize just what God has given us to be here and the glory that that is. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. In fact, God has got this hands down. But the glory of this time for me is that God is using us and working through us so that we may rise up and in the process become greater in His image. I'll see you tonight for Fishers of Men. Until then or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again. Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas, this country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who moved forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Has waited thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. We push, we climb, we never give in, we become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray, we stand, we live by the words, in God we trust, we fear nothing, we are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.